Oak Station number 12542, Reel 3.
Mr. Philip Perret, Reel 3. Did you get to know personally any other individual Germans?
Yes, the German Fritz Schlock. Fritz Schlock is funny. I was made to understand his mother was English and he was German or vice versa. I can't remember what he told me. And he could speak English better than me. He'd been brought up at Cambridge, been educated at Cambridge, and he was a smashing bloke, and he used to come fishing. He was in the customs and he used to come fishing with us, because you had to take a German with you wherever you went fishing. So he used to come. And he used to play he used to get his comb and a piece of silver paper, and he used to make a mouth organ out of this comb and silver paper. And he used to play the music all the morning. Yeah, Fritz Schlock, his name was. But he came from Hamburg, but I think he's dead now. And leukemia, I think it was. They're good lads, really. Some of them, but some weren't all that nice. We treated them like beehives. That's all there was about it. You left them alone, they leave you alone. You know.
You told me they used to sing.
They used to sing "Highly High Low" and all the other, you know. That's it. I've got to tell you this one. There was one. He came. He was a miserable so and so. And I said to him, I says, "81's going out." He says, "Yes, me come." So I says to my mate, I says, "We're going to fix him. He's not coming after today. I'll show you." So it was a bit rough. And we went in the wind. We dropped anchor. And once the boat is anchor, it's always rougher than when you're going with the tide, when you're steaming. So came a time he was sick. I'd bait his line, crushed the sand deal and bait his line with it. He wasn't going to catch anything on a line, add a dead fish on. So and I says, "Move your gun." And so he'd move his gun. So me, I thought to myself, "That's enough of all this damn nuisance." So I put a double hitch, half hitch around the muzzle of the gun, and I threw the anchor out. In throwing the anchor out, the gun went. "Your gun's gone." "Oh, my lieber man," he says, "what is the commandant going to say?" "Well," I says, "I don't know." I says, he can't very well shoot you with that gun anyway." So I laughed, and he tried to laugh, but he couldn't. He was worried. So we stood there for another half an hour or more, till he was properly sick. And we lifted anchor and we went home. And by that time, he was more or less paralyzed. He was so sick. Got lungs on the key. And called his mates. And they came and they hauled him up. I said, "Me sick, me sick, me crunk." So I said, "Well, you won't want to come again then?" "No, no." He said, "I mean, I'll never come back with you." I said, "That's all right." So I said, "By the way," I said, he's dropped his gun over the side." So they took him over, and I don't know what happened to him. We never saw him again. No, that one. He went.
What did you call him? 81?
The boat was number 81.
What was he called?
I don't know. I don't know what his name was. But only the nice ones that we really got interested in. Mm.
Did any of the Germans have girlfriends from the population?
No, apart from Mrs. Rang then. As far as I know, yeah.
He came back to marry her.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. I think that's about all.
And what about the when the British troops came? Did some British soldiers come to this island?
Oh, yes, yes.
Mr. Liberation?
Yes.
What do you remember about that?
Oh, God, it was overwhelming. I brought up Brigadier Snow. I was down the harbour. We were jollificating. We were all a bunch of youngsters. And I had the horse and carriage, and I was down the harbour when the Tommies came. And General Snow, which liberated us. I said, yeah, I've got a carriage for you, sir. He said, no, he said, I'm going to walk with my soldiers. I said, I insist. I said, you're going to get in the carriage. And they walk alongside of you. And I drove him up to the headquarters. And I said, yeah, that's where they are. Got out and walked in and made them sign the papers, I suppose. And his troops was with him. No, there was about a dozen of them.
So they took the Germans away?
No, no. They made them sign and they told them what to do, and they went back and came back again 3 days after. He walked up to the seigneury and went up to the seigneury after he'd seen the juries. And they gave the dame orders that she had to keep her eye on him. And she did. And well liberated, there was no more said, you know. And Sunday, the first Sunday we were liberated, I passed by. And Tesh, one of the blokes that cocked me in, he was a agricultural advisor, so he said. So he used to clock me in every morning, and when I was playing for him, and he says to me, he said, I said, good morning, Tesh, how are you? He says, how me? He says, oh, I thank you very much, but very sad. He said, the war is finished. I said, yeah, well, you will soon be home to with your family. So he said, oh, no, no. And he said, I've got no more family. He says, they're all dead. My family is all dead. Well, I said, what about a souvenir from you? I said, I'd like a souvenir, because I knew he was a nasty piece of work. And he said, what do you want? I said, your revolver. I said, no, no. And he says, no. So I said, oh, well, let's have a drink. So he got some schnapps, a bottle of schnapps. And he had a big glass and a small glass. And the German had never pour you your glass. He'd pass you the bottle and you'd help yourself. So I filled up the big glass, filled up the small glass, and passed him the big glass. And I never allowed that big glass to be empty till I was doing that in front of his eyes, and he couldn't shut him. He wouldn't even blink, and he was speechless, legless, everything.
Did you see the Germans taken away?
Yes, we were down the harbour to see them off. Yes,
you saw them off?
Yes, oh yes.
What did you do when you saw them off?
Well, just stood around, you know, and make sure. There was one that wanted, which had hidden his revolver in his boot. But the Tommies detected it and he had to give it up. Mm.
Did you wave to them as they went?
No way. No. It was a happy day that day.
Did you have a sense of liberation when they went?
Oh, yes. And we had bonfires, and we had, it was a glorified celebration, you know, when we were liberated. Yes, we celebrated everything.
Did you have any traitors in the population?
Not really, no, no. No.
But you pointed out a traitor's trait.
Four little things, you know, not what you can call really traitors, you know.
What did they do?
Well, report if you were caught after curfew, you know, or something like that. But no, they weren't concerned in all that, you know, really.
What happened at the traitor's tree? Why was it called the traitor's tree?
Well, they used to pin these orders on these
German orders.
German orders on it, and then above it, knowing that the Germans go there and read the notices and renew the notices. They'd see this one been put on, you know, they'd put a notice saying, oh, not me, but just frogging, say, Philip Perret was after curfew and this and the other, and keep your eye on him and that, but no more, you know.
So giving information to the Germans?
Germans, yes.
But the Germans used the tree as a notice board?
That's it, yes. Mm.
And it was near the post box?
Post box, yes.
On the high street?
That's it. We called it the traitor's tree.
What kind of a tree was it? Is it?
Sycamore. Sycamore tree.
And it's still there?
Still there, yes. They wanted to cut it down, but there was quite a few of us that didn't want it cut down. It got to stay there. So it's not pretty to look at, but it's a tree anyway.
Can you tell me the names of any important people on Sark or on Guernsey who did useful things for the population under the Germans?
All I know was Aro Fala, who was the Churchill of the Channel Islands, you know. He did quite a lot of good. And Frank Stuband as well. And there were quite a few friends. I've forgotten their names now, but they've all gone a long time ago. But